Welcome to Flavor in Your Ear with your host, DJ Boho, on Penguin Radio, broadcasting live at radio.dominican.edu and 102.3, bringing you the best vibes the musical world has to offer. You are now chilling with the Penguins. Welcome back to Flavor in Your Ear. This is your host, DJ Boho. Man, do I have a good show for you guys today. Last show was my first show, and it was a little lackluster, and I'll be honest about that. That was really about bringing you a nice synopsis of what this show has to offer. But we're going to get into the real shrimp and grits here of blues music, specifically blues rock. I promised you an episode on my favorite genre of music. It's really my bread and butter, and that is blues rock. It's where a lot of music stems from today. All the rock music you hear and R&B, most of that comes from good old blues. And I've been listening to the blues for a long time. I was raised on it. My parents are big blues fans. And I really don't know another genre that's easier to listen to. You know, it is a little bit melancholy, a little bit doom and gloom on some of them, but for the most part, really good guitar and really good soul and you know, just feel good music on a lot of these, you know, contemporary and old school blues artists. You know, it's my favorite genre really because of the guitar. Blues music is known for their great slide guitar. And of course, like I said, their songs are about heartache and the trials and tribulations that these artists face, but the amazing guitar riffs and great voice is great voices that these artists have never gets old. So, you know, to give you a little bit of history, I got to jump into the history of the blues, you know, to give you a little backstory on how the good old Southern blues got its start in the music world. And, you know, they say that the blues really found its beginning with a man named Robert Johnson. And if you don't know who Robert Johnson is, he is what they call the father or master of blues. The urban legend says that good old Robert Johnson sold his soul to the devil. That's right, the devil. And one day, he was playing his music and, you know, he was playing in his local town in Mississippi and, you know, no one ever really paid attention to him. No one ever really batted an eye, thought anything of him. And he went away for a little while on a road trip and he came back. And after his road trip, all people noticed was his music. All of a sudden, he was able to play rock and roll and blues like nobody's ever heard before, or it was actually new, a new type of music and sound that nobody'd ever heard, and that's what was known as the blues. And so that's why people say he sold his soul to the devil, because he disappeared for a little bit and came back and started playing the guitar like a genius, a savant. And so that is the legend behind Robert Johnson. Very little is known about Robert Johnson's personal life, which adds to his mystique and mystery. But Robert Johnson died at the age of 27 with no date, cause, or location. You know, people have tried to find more about him and look into his history, and there's not much there. There's a certificate of his death that was found 30 years later by a lady that was trying to document his life and his music. Once again, she found very little. What was found was his few studio recordings, which set the foundation for blues rock and rock music. Many of the rock artists today took inspiration from Robert Johnson. You know, artists such as Eric Clapton, Robert Plant from Led Zeppelin, Keith Richards of the Rolling Stones, and Bob Dylan. Those are legendary artists, and a lot of them quote and give credit to Robert Johnson for inspiration in a lot of their musical tones in their songs. You know, both my parents loved to listen to the blues, and that's how I got my musical background, really, especially my dad. My dad was a huge fan of Eric Clapton and also Jimi Hendrix, Creedence Clearwater, Neil Young, Lenny Kravitz, Steely Dan, and of course the Rolling Stones as well. So I really formulated a great ear for the blues at a young age. You know, we would listen to, you know, Eric Clapton on car rides when I was, 8 years old, and go on family trips and blues would be playing. And my mom, when I was younger, would force my brother and I say force, but kids, we didn't really know what was going on, but she would force my brother and I to sit in the living room and listen to certain artists and try to comment and pick apart parts of the song and musical instruments. And then eventually she'd have us try to guess. She'd put on a song and we wouldn't know who it was, and she'd ask us to guess who the artist was. And eventually we got pretty good at guessing who was playing. And, you know, my mom grew up and she's a product of the 50s and 60s. And so, you know, her musical background really came out through the 60s and 70s. So my musical knowledge, when I played that game, started to get pretty good about that, you know, free love and hippie rock era, where I believe a lot of some of the best rock music came out of. So I appreciate good old moms for playing that game with me. My mom, she's really the one that got me into going to concerts. I love concerts. And bringing it full circle to Eric Clapton, you know, I saw Eric Clapton when I was a kid. I think I was right around 9 years old. My mom dragged me to a concert at the Shoreline Amphitheater, which is in Mountain View. And if you've ever been, you know that it's kind of like a party, definitely like a party atmosphere of a venue. It's outside. They've got a massive lawn, and it's fun. I've been to a lot of shows there, but I will suggest, if you are in love with an artist and you really appreciate hearing the music of a particular artist, do yourself a favor and purchase tickets in the seats. When you go on the lawn, you're really going for the the camaraderie and the drinking and having fun in the lawn with the big crowd. But I wanted to see an artist, an outlaw country artist, which to me leans more on the side of rock. His name's Chris Stapleton. And I decided to get lawn seats, and that was a mistake. I should have gotten seats, paid for tickets in the actual row seating up front so I could hear him, because he is worth seeing up close. He is a fantastic artist. But I had to give you a little, that's just my advice on going to the Shoreline Amphitheater. Going back to my mom though, and the concerts, we went to a lot of shows when I was a kid, and I saw Eric Clapton, but I really didn't get to appreciate him when I saw him at Shoreline Amphitheater when I was 9 years old. But I did get to see Mr. Eric Clapton, legendary, at the Chase Center in 2019 with my pops. My pops splurged and got some really nice tickets, almost front row at the Chase Center, and I was absolutely blown away. You know, to see the incredible talent of Mr. Clapton at the age of 74 was just astonishing. I mean, the guy could bend notes and make his guitar sing like I've never heard. He commanded the entire venue. You know, he switched from acoustic to electric. He still had a pretty good singing voice, which is pretty amazing at 74 years old. But you get I was totally captivated when Eric Clapton played his guitar. Like, you know, you didn't have anything to say. You just wanted to watch a master work. And that was Eric. That was Eric Clapton. It was a hell of a show. I'll never forget it. Never forget that amazing show that my pops decided to splurge for, and I'll always thank him for it. And we got lucky, you know. We had Stevie Ray Vaughan's brother come out, who is not like Stevie. Stevie is also one of the legendary greats. He's not nearly as good as his brother. Jimmy. His name's Jimmy, Stevie's brother. He isn't as good as Stevie, but we were blessed to have him come out on stage. And, of course, we got really lucky towards the end of the show. Mr. Carlos Santana came out and also played, dual guitar with Mr. Eric Clapton. And we were in for a treat. We had no idea. We got really lucky. So if you're a blues fanatic like me, he doesn't really get much better than that, you know? It's like, all right, Santana and Eric Clapton and Jimmy Vaughan. That's a killer trifecta. Expensive concert ticket, but luckily I didn't have to pay for it. anyways, that's just a little tidbit on my love for the blues. But if you haven't heard of Joe Bonamassa, he is, I believe, one of the best, if not the best, blues guitarist of all time. I love Joe Bonamassa. I've seen him live 3 times. And I discovered him about 10 years ago. He's my all-time favorite blues artist, like I said. I first saw him in San Jose, and I also saw him at the Oakland Paramount Theater, which was a beautiful theater. It's incredible. But if you get the chance, pick up an album, go on Spotify, check out Joe Bonamassa. I can't really compare him with another guitarist. You know, he's the best in my opinion because I've never seen anybody dominate the guitar like Joe. He does incredible slide. He bends the notes. But he also, he's very technical and erratic in a artful, masterful way, the way that he plays notes. I've never seen anybody play with his speed, his finesse. It's really incredible what this guy can do with the guitar. And in my opinion, that's what makes him a talented guitar genius. He grew up playing guitar at a really young age. He was 13, and he opened up for the legendary B.B. King. B.B. King is one of the older blues greats. Rest in peace. He was a pretty amazing guy. I got to see him when I was, about 9 or 10 years old as well, also at Shoreline Amphitheater. But Joe really got his... he got his blues from B.B. King and other, Muddy Waters, a lot of the soulful Southern guys. And, he sold the most blues albums out of any blues artist. He's the number one blues artist in the history of blues. He sold the most number one albums as well. So that's pretty incredible in itself. And it's funny because most people don't know who Joe Bonamassa is. He's signed with a smaller record company. And because of that, he hasn't been blown out of proportion, but also marketed like the big names. And that's because Joe Bonamassa set it up that way. He plays for people that love blues, and he hasn't sold out. He doesn't want to sell out. He does what he loves. He makes enough money doing it. He doesn't need to make zillions of dollars. He just wants to play guitar and do what he loves, but play for the people that love his music. And I respect that. It's pretty incredible. So his shows are always packed, but they're not cheap because of the smaller crowds and the niche blues-only genre that he plays for. So expect to pay a pricey tag for his shows, and but if you go to see him, just know you're going to be blown away. The few times that I've seen him, I walk out of the shows just speechless. I mean, once again, similar to Clapton, but even more so, you're just completely overwhelmed with the what you hear and what you see, and the way this guy is totally enmeshed with playing guitar. So, moving on, I'll go with the last artist that I must impress upon you, who is Gary Clark Jr. Mr. Gary Clark Jr. was introduced to be my girlfriend in 2018. He is a blues artist, but he has a R&B influence. He has a great voice, and he's also very skilled on the guitar. He also does a little bit of the slide, but what's really unique about Gary Clark Jr. is he's able to make some pretty crazy noises come out of his guitar. I've seen him three times, once in Pasadena at an Arroyo Seco festival, once at the Napa Valley music festival, Bottle Rock, and then once at the Fillmore, which is one of the dopest venues I've ever been to. I've been to the Fillmore a bunch of times. Super intimate, fun, smaller crowd, which makes the music louder, and you're also way closer to the stage. So anyways, I saw Gary there, Gary Clark Jr., and I heard these crazy sounds come out of his guitar. You know, I heard this like scratchy, screechy noises, but not like it was, you know, unplanned or like a disaster. He like made these sounds come out in a way where you're like, whoa, this guy's putting something new together. And it's pretty incredible hearing what he can do with his guitar. So you're kind of hearing a theme here. These artists that I like are able to really masterfully, you know, in a skilled way, put together sounds that most guitars can't do. You know, and what makes it really great to listen to Gary is he can make his guitar sound like it's screaming and crying. It's intense. So if you like blues, you got to check him out. And, you know, like I said, he's a little mix of R&B too. He's got an amazing voice. So check him out, Gary Clark Jr. All right, guys, that's can't believe I'm already at the end of my show here, but that's my show. I hope you liked hearing about the good old blues, and just know that we got more really good shows coming up for you. I do, and the next show is going to be kind of on the opposite end of the spectrum, but this next show is going to be about electronic music and dance music. We're talking about, you know, one of the pioneers, Daft Punk, who's my all-time favorite, Deadmau5, and Odessa, to name a few. So I'm really excited to jump into that show next show I have for you. And as always, thanks for tuning in. Really appreciate it. And one love, guys. Thank you for listening to Flavor in Your Ear with your host, DJ Boho, on Penguin Radio. Broadcasting live at radio.dominican.edu and 102.3. Thanks for chilling with the Penguins. Keep blasting that good music, and remember, keep vibing to the beat.